What is going on, guys? Solid Monster here for another Monday night, the final one here before SummerSlam. More tributes on Raw tonight, as they were on SmackDown Friday night for the passing of Hulk Hogan, who passed away at the age of 71 last Thursday. But as I mentioned, this was the final Raw before SummerSlam, a show that we now know will have a three-hour pre-show on both nights, with no matches, as far as we know, on any of the pre-shows. 6 hours worth of pre-shows. I hope you're ready for this weekend. Just a little excessive, I would say. One of the matches at SummerSlam has the return of Roman Reigns. He's going to be teaming with Jey Uso to take on Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, the Bron Brons. And that was what we saw at the end of Raw tonight. It was Jey Uso and Bronson Reed. Not much of a main event. Didn't go very long. DQ finish. It was all to set up the return of Roman Reigns at the very end of the show. And just when it looked like the babyfaces were going to stand tall, Bron Breakker said earlier he had a plan. And we saw what that plan was. That plan ended with Jey Uso taking a tsunami splash and Roman Reigns, after being speared, taking a tsunami splash. And then, to add insult to injury, Bronson Reed stole Roman's shoes. He stole his Jordans. I don't really know what that was all about, but he took them, and he posed with them, and he kissed them. Somewhere, Tony Atlas just got a tickle up his spine. And that was the closing scene on Raw tonight. Total dominance here from Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, heading into the second biggest pay-per-view here, or PLE, whatever you want to call it, of the year. A show tonight that it wasn't that great. I mean, there were parts of the show that I enjoyed. There were other parts that were very dull. It was fine. You know, as a go-home show, it was fine. We have reached that point where they have done all they can do to really promote SummerSlam. And so we got what we got with Punk and Gunther. You know, last week I commented on how lackluster and how disappointing the promo segment was with the two of them, and I was hoping we would have more of an interaction between them tonight. Not really. I wouldn't say much of a back and forth, but what we got out of CM Punk on the microphone tonight was much better than what we had last week. This was almost like a return to form for CM Punk, as he tried to really drive home the fact that I don't want to be the world heavyweight champion. I need to be the world heavyweight champion. And he was talking to Gunther about, you know, why that was so important to him, which is good. I mean, you want him to illustrate that point. It's a match that we've had all of 2 weeks to really promote. You know, Punk won that gauntlet match a couple of weeks ago. And so already SummerSlam is here. Not a whole lot of time, you know, to really invest in this match and do a whole lot to get people really excited for it. But they did, I thought, a pretty decent job with that on the mic tonight. And then the rest of the show was just kind of there, honestly. I mean, really, it was those two closing segments, the stuff with the heels at the end standing tall and the Punk and Gunther segment. That really was the best part of Raw tonight. You know, we had a six-person mixed tag, and we had an eight-woman tag team match, and we had some more stuff with Becky and Lyra, which frankly I didn't think was all that great. There was a sit-down interview recorded earlier in the day with Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross, which I'll touch on, that I thought was well done. Still a lot of questions about Karrion Kross's future. Does he have one? Supposedly his contract is up in August, and there's been no reports. There's been no talk about him either being in discussions with them or having signed a new deal. They're keeping that on the down low, or are we seeing the last of Karrion Kross very soon, which would be kind of crazy to me. I don't know why you would just let him walk away, but still a lot of questions about his future. So we'll talk about everything that happened on the show tonight. And also, you know, this Raw obviously aired on Netflix. There's another WWE show that is actually debuting on Netflix tomorrow night, and it's called WWE Unreal. Now, the big preview for Unreal last week that they showed us was the iShow Speed angle from the Royal Rumble earlier this year, which was an angle. didn't really take us behind the scenes all that much last week in the preview that they showed us. I thought that was kind of an odd clip to use. So, earlier today on social media, Netflix put a clip out. I assume it's from the first episode. Showing Triple H, like a 3-minute clip, with Triple H talking about how the John Cena heel turn came to be. I could already see that the show is going to bug me. But he's going into detail about how the heel turn came about for John Cena. And he goes, there were 5 people who needed to know. You know, Nick Khan needed to know, and he was on board. And then it was The Rock. And I'm like, why the fuck does The Rock need to know? But okay, The Rock needs to know. And The Rock loved it. And of course, they don't get into anything about The Rock wanting Cody to go heel or anything like that. At least not in the clip. But like, I was blown away when he's mentioning all of these people that need to know, right, about this big heel turn, this big monumental heel turn. And beyond Nick Khan and The Rock, he mentions Cody Rhodes is another one. But before even Cody Rhodes and John Cena himself are to be briefed about this, we got to tell Travis Scott. We got to tell Travis Scott because this whole thing is set to revolve around him. You know, the name of this show is quite appropriate. Unreal. That was my reaction when I heard that. We're doing this because it has to revolve around Travis Scott. This thing was doomed to fail from the start. Doomed. I could already see this show was going to make me very angry. But could be interesting. So anyway, yes, that is debuting tomorrow night. For those of you who are interested in that, of course, at some point I will be watching it this week. I'll be a little busy tomorrow night, obviously, but later in the week I'll check out the first episode and we'll talk about that on the podcast this weekend. But I could already see this is going to be a doozy. Unlike this show tonight, this wasn't a doozy, but let's talk about it. This is your Raw on Netflix review. Final one here for the month of July. It is July 28th. 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Thank you for hanging out with me here on a Monday night. Do subscribe if you are new to the channel. Welcome. Hit that like button as well. We're looking for at least 400 thumbs up if we are to do our Be the Booker segment later on. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. I will be reading through your messages a little bit later. If you have questions, comments, anything like that, if you want to support, that is the way to do so. You see the pinned message also in the live chat. Also want to mention, I got a lot of really positive feedback to this, and I just want to say thank you, because on episode 922 of The Sound Off, which dropped yesterday, I spent 45 minutes talking about the life and legacy of Hulk Hogan, warts and all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the response to it has been overwhelmingly positive, more positive than I initially thought it would be. So I just want to say thank you for all the comments, and I very much appreciate that. If you missed it, do check out the full podcast. Of course, the segment itself is also up here on the YouTube channel. So if you would, got some time to spare, go ahead and check that out. I tried to do as good of a job as I could in covering it in the fairest way and the most honest way possible. And I think I did that. So go check that out. Let's talk about this show tonight. I did mention that we had yet another tribute to Hogan as we did at the beginning of SmackDown on Friday night. Raw started as SmackDown did with all of the wrestlers, this time from the Raw roster, wrestlers and agents and producers all gathered together on stage, this time in front, you know, unlike Friday where they had Jimmy Hart and Ted DiBiase and Sergeant Slaughter, and Gerald Briscoe and Brian Blair, they were not there. This time Eric Bischoff was there. I know he was invited to be there on Friday, couldn't make it, wasn't going to be possible. So he was there tonight, obviously very close with Hogan, business partners with Hogan, Hulk's son Nick was there with his wife. So Nick, his wife, Bischoff were up front along with Bruce Pritchard. He was back out there again. CM Punk was also in the front. Paul Levesque, oddly, was not out there, but we heard his voice. So what they did was they took his introduction from the tribute when he was out there on stage with everybody on Friday, and they just replayed it over the PA system. Because I was like, I don't see him out there. And then there was one point when he was speaking on Friday where there was like a word that he fumbled. And he fumbled it again here. I said, well, that's kind of odd. I go, wait a minute. They're just replaying what he said on Friday. So I don't know why he wasn't out there, but they played his remarks. And then they segued again into a 10 bell salute and a very nice video package set to the song Ordinary by Alex Warren. This was even better than the video they cobbled together on Friday that Triple H did the narration for. This was very well done. And again, it's just weird watching it because it's like I'm watching this back and all these moments, and it's just, it's my childhood in 4 minutes, you know, like flashing before my eyes. It's just such a weird thing. And not just seeing Hogan everywhere, but, you know, Hogan and Savage and all these people who are no longer with us. You know, Hogan and Savage and Andre and Elizabeth and Bossman. And it's just like, man, there's so many. I mean, they're not all gone, but enough of them are gone and wouldn't even be that old if they were still around, where it's just very depressing. But, you know, I mentioned I got a lot of really positive feedback to the Hogan segment on the podcast, but the number of people that I have seen on social media arguing with me, of all things, over the comment that Hulk Hogan is the most famous professional wrestler of all time. If I tell you the number of people that I've heard from just in the last 24 hours that have argued with me on this, throwing out John Cena and The Rock, and look, you can at least, look, you can certainly make an argument for those names, especially The Rock. The Rock has gone on as far as being a movie star, removed from the wrestling business, to being one of the most well-known celebrities in the world, right? No one is debating that. But when we're talking about pro wrestlers, in the realm of pro wrestling, who have also gone on to some form of pop culture, popularity, notoriety, I'm sorry, Hulk Hogan is that guy. In the realm of professional wrestling, Hulk Hogan is the most famous pro wrestler of all time. But beyond Cena and The Rock, like some of the names that were being thrown at me by some of the people on social media was unbelievable. Shawn Michaels was one of them. Shawn spelled S-H-A-U-N. Shawn Michaels was one. Rey Mysterio, right? Some people made a list of all the different names that are bigger than Hogan, right? Shawn Michaels and Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton was another one that I saw on there. The Big Show. Someone mentioned The Big Show. Batista. People were doing The Batista. I said, The Batista? What is this? I assume it's that machine gun dance that he used to do. Apparently, this is bigger than Hulk Hogan. I wasn't aware of this. I wasn't doing The Batista. I was aware of Batista, but I was never doing The Batista. But apparently, in parts of the world, The Batista is a real thing. And therefore, that makes him more popular than Hulk Hogan in the realm of wrestling history. It has been a very eye-opening... Yes, The Big Show. I know. It has been a very eye-opening 24 hours for me on social media. Just how little people know about history, either because they weren't bothered to learn or they're just too young. And being born later and being of a certain age, you know, I can understand it, but I also feel like, you know, being young is not an excuse for just spewing nonsense. And some of what I saw today, not all of it, but some of what I saw today was certainly nonsense. So it was very eye-opening for me. Something else that they mentioned tonight during the Batista, you like that, huh? The Batista, yes. We have to make that a thing here in this country. The Batista, bigger than Hogan. One thing they mentioned tonight, I'll throw it up here on screen for you. I was not aware of this. WWE has made a new line of LJN figures. They have brought back the old school 1980s, the rubber LJN figures through Target. This is like a Target thing. So I think that's the only place where they're available right now for pre-order. But they just announced this one here for Hogan that looks exactly like the original one that they released in the 1980s. I still have the original. It's in a box somewhere. It's in rough shape, though. It's in pretty rough shape. He's been through a lot. So as soon as Michael Cole mentioned it here on the show tonight, I went right to the Target website. I go, wait a minute, I got to take a look at this. I have to put my pre-order in for this. And the pre-orders, as you can see, are already sold out. They're shipping in October. They had pre-orders open. The pre-orders for this are completely sold out. They have, it's a very limited selection. They have John Cena, they have Dusty Rhodes, and they have Logan Paul. Guess which one is the only one that is not currently sold out of pre-orders? That would be Logan Paul. What a surprise. You want your Logan Paul, you can get Logan Paul. But if you want any of these other people, Hogan, Cena, Dusty, I guess we're shit out of luck. All the pre-orders are sold out. Man, those LJNs, though, you could kill somebody with those things. You throw that thing hard enough. Not like the little Hasbros or the whatever the ones they make today. They're bringing them back. Is it any wonder why they're always going retro and bringing the retro stuff back? Because the retro stuff, man, it's the shit. If it sucked, they wouldn't bring them back. Maybe they'll open up some new pre-orders. We'll see. Jey Uso made his entrance through the crowd to open the show after the Hogan tribute. And he continued to play to the crowd after the music stopped. He was about to, it looked like, go ask for an encore or give the people an encore when he was interrupted by ladies and gentlemen. And Paul Heyman walked out. He waddled out there onto the stage, interrupting the encore. He was booed very loudly for doing so. So Heyman said he meant no disrespect and he wanted to speak from the heart, one former Bloodline member to another. He started to enter the ring and very quickly changed his mind when he said he saw a certain look in Jay's eye that he had seen previous. He said that he couldn't believe that Jay was teaming with Roman Reigns in the name of family. Heyman said, family will always let you down and get you in trouble. And he asked if Jay's mother told him when he was a kid that Santa Claus left the presents under the tree. Heyman said Santa didn't do that. And Jay's mother lied to him. He told the fans that their mothers lied to them too, except for the Jewish ones, because my tribe knows better, he says. So Rikishi, he says, may have told Jay that he wanted him to be more iconic than him, but his father lied to him too. And when Roman Reigns named the next person in line to be tribal chief, he didn't pick Jey Uso. He picked Solo Sikoa. And that didn't work out so well. So now Reigns might tell Jay that he wants Jay to be as big as he is, but Reigns was also lying. And he wasn't saying this out of anger or malice. He's saying it because Jey Uso, I love you. And Heyman said he loves Jay like family. Then he yelled, yeet, and he dropped the microphone. Jay said family was the reason that he was out there. Said he would pull up for his family every single time. Said the bloodline ran deep in his veins still. Heyman was being disrespectful by talking about the things that Jay could do without Roman Reigns, but Jay already did those things. Said he went out on his own. He won the World Heavyweight Championship to prove to himself that he could. Jay wondered where Heyman's family even was right now. Where's your family? He said Heyman screwed Roman at WrestleMania while his boys screwed him in that gauntlet out of a world title shot. Whatever happened to them at SummerSlam was on Heyman's ass. And then he said, bump that. I thought he said something else. But he said, bump that. We gonna run this shit back. And then they replayed his song as he played to the crowd. It was good to give Jay his own segment here just to kind of keep him separated from Roman early in the show so he's not always in Roman's shadow. So they gave him his own time here. But he sounded like he was completely winded. Like, I can't be the only one who picked up on this. Like, he sounded totally out of breath. Like, he worked himself up. And maybe he just gets nervous, but he worked himself up so much. It just sounded like he was... I was like, dude, just stop. Just stop and take a breath. It's okay. He was struggling. I thought somebody was going to run out there with a fucking oxygen tank. Freaking guy. He's got to mellow out. I don't know if you saw the video on social media the other day. Roman... I mentioned this on the podcast. So Roman, in a social media video of his own, he was doing cardio in his gym. And he extended the invitation to Jay to be his tag team partner at SummerSlam. So Jay posted a video of his own in response. And it was like in the middle of the night. And he's sitting there. And just if you look at him, right, go find that video. It's probably on his IG. Go find that video. This guy was, he was on another planet. I don't know what zip code he was in when he recorded that, but he was in a totally different zip code. And he was feeling pretty good. Maybe he needs to mellow out. Whatever he was doing there, maybe he needs to do that here before he comes out for these segments. But he was gone. That man was gone. He sounded like he was going to pass out, says Hot Rock Hudson. He did. I was worried about him there. He's like, he was like hunched over looking at Heyman. I'm like, someone, you know, get a medic in the ring for this guy. So we got a 6-person mixed tag team match for $400,000. No, shit. Wrong show. I'm sorry. Wrong show. With AJ Styles, Asuka, and Kairi Sane taking on Dominic Mysterio, Raquel Rodriguez, and Roxanne Perez. Michael Cole, he brought up the interview that Chad... Oh, this is a total aside here. But Michael Cole brought up the interview that Chad Gable gave. I don't know how many of you saw this. Chad Gable went to go take in a ball game. Wooing! And have some wooings. So he went to a Minnesota Twins game. And one of their reporters went into the crowd to go interview him. And he was sitting there, his arm was in a sling. And he did mention that he had a rotator cuff injury. So now we know, I don't know that we knew the nature of the injury. I think we knew it was some sort of shoulder issue, but I guess it was a rotator cuff tear is what he had surgery for. So his arm was still in a sling. But Michael Cole mentioned how in that interview, he mentioned that he finally had a singles match for the first time at WrestleMania this year. And Cole pointed out the fact that Chad Gable's never had a singles match at WrestleMania. But El Grande Americano did. So he kind of outed himself there. And then Corey Graves said he investigated the situation. He said it was a very hot day. And Chad Gable just misspoke because of the heat. I guess maybe he was having heat stroke. I don't know. But I'm glad that Corey corrected him on this. So the babyfaces here were in control until Dom pulled Roxanne to safety, which caused Kairi to collide with the bottom turnbuckle. The referee turned her attention to a very pissed off AJ Styles, and that distraction allowed Raquel to boot Kairi outside the ring. Kairi speared Roxanne, but she couldn't make a tag because Raquel yanked Asuka off the apron. Kairi couldn't tag AJ either because Dom blatantly entered the ring. He decked AJ. Styles finally got the hot tag after a little bit. He ran wild on Dom. This crowd was super into AJ Styles. So, like, it was a hot tag. And when he got in, they were going crazy. Styles set up for a phenomenal forearm. Roxanne stepped in front of Dom to stop it. Asuka and Kairi, they assisted in taking out Roxanne. Styles then assisted Kairi coming off the ropes by launching her through the air. And as she's flying through the air to the outside, she delivered an insane elbow to a standing Raquel Rodriguez. That was actually a very cool spot. And it looked even better on the replay when they showed it. So that was very cool. Styles then finished off Dom with a phenomenal forearm. And he pinned him clean. 1, 2, 3. In the middle of the ring. So in case you thought that AJ Styles might be leaving New Jersey as the Intercontinental Champion, you might want to rethink your prediction. I had Dom winning anyway. More so now. More so now. You might want to reconsider. You know, we don't get to see too many mixed tag team matches on these shows. I just feel like They don't do them very often. They used to do that mixed match challenge thing. So we don't get to see them very often. This was a fun one. All thanks really to those last couple of minutes. I would imagine Liv Morgan is not going to be too happy about some of the interactions between Dom and Roxanne in this match. They showed Jackie Redmond in the back with Sheamus earlier today, reflecting on his match with Rusev last week. Here comes Grayson Waller with the New Day. Sheamus asks if Waller wants to fight. He must be crying out for a banger beatdown. Grayson says that they aren't scared, but when he turns around, the New Day are nowhere to be seen. And that led to our match here this week, which was Sheamus one-on-one against Grayson Waller. No New Day to be found. Waller seems to be of the opinion that they're a crew now. New Day seems to not share that same idea, apparently. Sheamus entered first, and then they went to a commercial break. On the flip side, we had Waller, and then the match started. So Sheamus comes out. They go to a commercial break. The entire commercial break, this man is out there messing around. He's, you know, fucking around with Michael Cole. He goes over behind them in the front row. He's signing posters and signing autographs for people. Big smile on his face. Having a good time. I feel like Sheamus is going to be one of those guys where when he's done and gone and retired, right? And he's just finished. I feel like we're going to realize we didn't appreciate him as much as maybe we should have when he was around. Not that I don't appreciate him. I mean, he goes out there and pretty consistently puts on good to very good matches on TV. And he's been around forever. I still feel like he's underappreciated. And when he is not around anymore, look, the show goes on, and it's not like he's being used in a major way right now. He's not a major part of any storylines. But I think someone like him, I think it'll be felt when he's not on the show anymore. And I don't know how many years he has left. I know he's got the spinal stenosis. He's talked about that before. He's getting older. I think he just re-signed with WWE not that long ago. I don't know if it was a year ago, 2 years ago. So, you know, nothing that's imminent, but, you know, at some point he won't be around anymore. And he seems like he's in that phase of his career now, like Randy Orton, where he's just going out there and he's just having a good time. You know, I mean, these guys, they get older, and not that they're not competitive anymore, but, you know, wrestling is a shark tank. And so when you're younger and you're trying to advance and you're trying to move up to that top spot, it's only so many spots to go around. Things are ultra competitive. Maybe you're a little paranoid. And then you just get to a point in your career like him and Randy, where you're older, your legacy is more secure. These guys are obviously, you know, fucking first ballot Hall of Famers when they go in. And not that they don't care, but they can sort of enjoy it more. And it just looks like they're having more fun. It's like watching Charlotte Flair now on TV doing the stuff with Alexa Bliss. You could tell when they're out there and they're actually having fun. So anyway, yeah, he's just messing around with the fans. Everybody's having a good time. He's like, all right, we got some time to kill here. Come back from commercial, and then we're underway. And this really was just a glorified squash. Sheamus had it won. He set up for a brogue kick. Had to stop when he spotted Rusev hit the apron. Sheamus knocked him down. Waller, though, caught him with a schoolboy for a two count. Sheamus popped up, hit a brogue kick, and got the win. Rusev attacked him when the match was over with his own shillelagh, and then he applied the accolade. Some fans were chanting, "We want Lana." No, we don't. Rusev held the submission on for a while until officials finally got him to let go. And these two men are not on the SummerSlam card. I believe they're setting up for a match next Monday. I believe they're in Brooklyn next week. So they're one win apiece right now. I think we're getting the rubber match next Monday. Jackie Redmond was in the back to speak to Naomi. This weekend is her first title defense, and she says it's a big one against Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. And this time they will be prepared for her, unlike last time where she cashed into the very end of their match. This time they're coming prepared. Naomi says Rhea isn't the only one bringing the brutality. And like Io, Naomi can fly too. Everyone in the division was passive-aggressive, but she was aggressive-aggressive. And tonight's tag team match would be a cautionary tale. She did her evil villain laugh, and she warned everyone to proceed with caution. See, now you can hear the fans in the arena. They're chanting along. Her catchphrase is getting over. Backstage elsewhere, Paul Heyman told Bronson Reed that Jey Uso thinks they're just a group without a leader. I don't think they're a group without a leader. They're a group without a name. 3 months. Still no name. Bron Breakker stepped in and told Reed to take out Jey with a tsunami. Reed was on board with that plan. After he left, Bronson Reed looked at Paul Heyman and said, "I have a plan." Setting up what would come later on in the main event. We had Lyra Valkyria out next to the ring to address her match coming up at SummerSlam with Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental title. She did a little dance, not the Batista, but she did a little dance to show off her, I don't know what this was, these just hideous giant shoes that she was wearing that make her look probably 4 inches taller than she actually is. But she called them her Becky Stompers. I hope she's not planning on wrestling in those this weekend. And this got no reaction. She then misspoke and said that she would be standing here in 2 weeks and then corrected herself to say 1 week as the Women's Intercontinental Champion. See, there's so many shows now that even she doesn't know when SummerSlam is. I can't really fault her for that. She acknowledged that maybe she would fail. Wouldn't be standing there at all because Becky would have to beat her into the ground to walk out as the champion. Valkyria knew that Becky didn't like to play by the rules, which was the reason that she won the title in the first place. So she was happy to play it Becky's way. Valkyria said that she was not playing into Becky's hands because she knew exactly what Becky was capable of. But Lynch didn't know what she was capable of. Valkyria was prepared to go to a place that she's never gone before, she said. Lyra Valkyria is all elite. Place she's never been before. Becky Lynch's music hit. Valkyria turned her attention to the stage. Nobody entered. So Lyra quickly realized what was going on here. She turned around and sure enough, on the floor outside behind her, right in front of the announcers, is Becky Lynch, who has a kendo stick in her hand. Lyra delivers a dropkick through the ropes in her hideous shoes and drop kicks Becky, who drops the kendo stick. After she got hit, Lyra picked it up and beat her with it. And the first, like, 2 or 3 shots, those were fine. Now she's continuing to hit her with the kendo stick, and they're kind of going around ringside, and this is just awful. Becky is just standing there, and she's putting her arms up and feeding her ribs to her so she can deliver these shots, and, you know, standing there, put her arms back up, hit her again, put her arms up, hit her again. I'm like, this is horrendous. So Becky gets into the ring and Lyra gets inside with her. Becky takes the kendo stick away, but Lyra gets her up for Nightwing, which Becky escapes and she bails out to the floor. This did not make me want to see their match at SummerSlam. Their previous matches make me want to see their match at SummerSlam. So I'm still looking forward to it because every time these two get in the ring in an actual match, they've had really good matches. Like, it's really good stuff. So for that reason, I'm still looking forward to their match. But this being the go-home show for these two, I was waiting to see what they might do here. Like, when Lyra first came out, like, okay, how's this going to end? Is it just going to be a promo? And then I saw what they did and the shoes. And I'm just like, okay, none of this did anything to make me want to see this match at SummerSlam. So thankfully, I've seen their previous matches. And that's enough for me. But if I had not seen them wrestle previously and I had only this to go by, this would not be one of the matches I would be looking forward to this weekend. The less said about this, the better. Swing and a miss with a kendo stick, you might say. Footage aired from earlier in the day of Corey Graves doing a sit-down interview with Sami Zayn about his SummerSlam match against Karrion Kross. Sami said he wanted to be done with Kross. Kross was getting in the way of achieving his goal, which was to be the World Heavyweight Champion. Kross and Scarlett interrupted Cross excused Corey and took his seat. He said that he had every intention of attacking Sammy with a steel rod, but then he realized that Sammy probably wouldn't make it to SummerSlam, so he thought better of it. Everybody Cross has dealt with so far has wound up showing their true colors, everyone except for Sami Zayn. It's really starting to piss him off. When Cross beats him at SummerSlam, he wants to hear Sami say the words, "Cross told the truth." And then they could go their separate ways. Sami could go on to become the world champion. Cross said Sami was no better than him. Sami said, "I'm not sure what you want." If Cross did win, Sami says he's willing to say whatever he wants him to say. Sami wanted Cross to know that he was wrong about him, and maybe Cross was wrong about himself. And Sami said that when he beats Karrion Kross at SummerSlam, he wants to hear Cross say that he was wrong. I like this. Simple. Didn't overstay its welcome. Literally, Cross sat down in the chair, and they were like this. They were like almost nose to nose, right up in each other's face. Got very intense. Very interesting to hear Cross say that, look, if you beat me, then I'll, you know, you go do your thing and I'll basically just leave. I really don't know what's going on with his contract status. I would like to see him stay. I feel like there's more that he could be doing. I don't know if the company, you know, sees him as a long-term investment or not. I certainly feel like it's worth it to re-sign him and keep him around and do more with him and frankly, do more with Scarlett as well, who's really just background noise. She's also being wasted in a lot of ways. I feel like there's more that she could be contributing to the show. But it, you know, if he goes in there at SummerSlam and loses, I don't know if this is his send-off or not. Are we seeing the last of Karrion Kross? I suppose the outcome of the match will sort of dictate, because if he wins, then we know he's not going anywhere. And if he loses, then it's 50-50. I really don't know what his future holds, but I'm glad that they're you know, getting the chance to do this one more time at SummerSlam. I hope this is the best of the three matches that they will have had. The first match in Saudi Arabia wasn't great. The second match was pretty boring because it was mostly Sami selling the ribs. You know, that's what the match was designed to be. Now they're getting the chance to go out there. Big crowd, 40,000 people, MetLife Stadium. This should be the blow-off between these two. I hope they go out there and have the best of the three matches. Whatever happens, whoever wins. You know, this is a situation that Cross has not been in before, where he's on back-to-back PLEs. Find me the last time that that's happened for Karrion Kross. He was on the Saudi show. Obviously, he wasn't at Evolution. Unless you know something I don't. And now he's on the SummerSlam card. I can't remember the last time that's happened, where he was on back-to-back PLEs. Hopefully they'll deliver. Jackie Redmond was in the back. She interviewed a very discouraged, we'll say, Bayley. Jackie noted that Bayley is not booked for SummerSlam and questioned what's next. And Bayley said that she lost her opportunity at the Intercontinental title. She lost her opportunity to win the women's tag team titles. She missed WrestleMania this year because, again, she was attacked by Becky Lynch. And now she has no match at SummerSlam. No match at Mania, no match at SummerSlam. She said that for the first time in her career, she was at a loss for words. And then she walked away. This woman who used to give everybody hugs, when this was over, looked like she could use one herself. This was depressing. This woman is moping around. She looks like she has no purpose and no sense of self anymore. It's been beaten out of her. She's lost all these different opportunities. She's not even on the card. She's like Dennis Stamp and Beyond the Mat. She's not booked. We just need Bayley on her trampoline in her backyard. Unfortunately, Terry Funk is not around anymore to go convince her to be the referee. Who would be the Terry Funk that would go to Bayley's house and try to convince her, hey, we need you? Can make her a special referee for the Becky and Lyra match this weekend. I don't know. Who would that person be? Who would go to Bayley's house to try to convince her to come to SummerSlam? I don't know. You know what it feels like to me? It feels like it's time for somebody to go heal. It feels like it's time for someone to go heal so that they can start to feel better about themselves. Maybe she could take out Cardi B. How about that, right? I think Cardi B is still hosting Summer. It's very odd. I don't think they've been mentioning her much. When was the last time they mentioned Cardi B? As far as I know, she's still hosting SummerSlam. I think she's still supposed to be there. I don't know. Maybe Bayley could come out and, you know, throw Cardi B off the stage or something. That might make her feel better. I should mention that at this point in the show, it had been half an hour since the last match. That last match was the Sheamus match. That wasn't even 5 minutes. That was 30 minutes ago. Now we have an actual match. We got an 8-woman tag team match with Rhea Ripley, Io. I felt like I was watching Collision. Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Nikki Bella, and Stephanie Vaquer. Stephanie and Nikki, no match at SummerSlam, but they were in this match tonight. It's quite the team here, I have to say. You got Rhea, you got Io, you got Steph. It's like the Avengers. It's the Avengers and Nikki Bella against the women's world champion Naomi, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Alba Fire. I'm not even going to say from SmackDown because clearly that doesn't matter anymore. It is, hey, they're part of Raw now too. They are co-branded. The only co-branded faction is the Secret Harvest and Chelsea Green. They can go wherever they want. Maybe they'll pop up on NXT this week. Nikki Bella was in control until Alba made a blind tag and hit her with a super kick. This led to a break. And so naturally, as soon as they came back, Nikki made a hot tag to Io Sky. Io got cut off after a distraction from Naomi. And the heels took over again. Niven and Green, they took turns hitting moves on Io. So Stephanie and Nikki, they came in to break up the pin. Ripley tried to get involved, but Naomi shoved her into the steel steps. Stephanie got a hot tag. She laid out all four opponents. With all four laid out against each turnbuckle, Vaquer handed out running knee strikes to everyone except Naomi. Naomi managed to block it, but Stephanie caught her with a dragon screw. Crowd got louder when Stephanie hit Chelsea with the devil's kiss. Of course they did. Nikki gave Alba a Bella Buster, which is just an X factor. She stared down Naomi, who was about to enter the ring, and Naomi thought better of it and said, "You know what? I think I've had enough." And she goes over and she collects her Women's World Championship and she begins to leave. And she heads towards the aisle. Io Sky, though, intercepted her, chucked her back into the ring. Nikki and Io, they laid out Naomi. And then the two of them did Io's pose. You had Io Sky and you had Nikki Bella. And they're both doing the Io Sky pose, right? And they're both laughing and having a good time, but then they turn around into a double clothesline from Piper Niven. And then Piper Niven does the Io pose, and everybody, actually people pop for it. I was one of those people. I thought it was funny. Rhea Ripley then gave Piper a riptide. Chelsea got into the ring and slapped Rhea. So she got in Chelsea's face until Chelsea backed into Stephanie, who hit an SVB. And pinned her. So Stephanie Vaquer, the one who is going to Clash in Paris at the end of August to challenge for the Women's World Championship, got the win here in this match. I have to say, you know, the reactions that Rhea Ripley continues to get when they hit her music and she comes out to make her entrance rivals any of the top baby faces in the company. You could pick CM Punk, you could pick Cody Rhodes. Doesn't matter. It rivals that. Like, the reactions that she gets, and tonight was no exception, are gigantic. And then even during the match, you know, when she tags in and gets into the ring, huge reactions. So when I say that she's one of the biggest stars in the company, again, it's not a male or a female thing. Oh, she's the biggest female star in the company. I mean, that goes without saying. But she's right up there, just in terms of crowd reactions. She's right up there with the top stars in the company. It's something else when they hit her music and you just hear people losing their minds. She's just so over right now. And she didn't do much here either. Outside of giving Piper her finish, she really wasn't involved all too much in this match, which is just as well, you know, protect her. Save her from any potential injury going into the show this weekend. I have no issue with that. In the ring, or I should say in the back, after the match was over, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Stephanie, and Nikki, they were all celebrating their win. They were about to head to their locker room, but Io stopped Rhea. She grabbed her by the arm, and Rhea turned around and said, "Look, you and me, we're friends for now. We were partners tonight, but I'm going to finally have your number at SummerSlam." Io said that you've never beaten me, and you never will. And Rhea told her, "We'll see about that." This is the match I am most looking forward to this weekend. Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and Naomi. It is impossible for Rhea and Io to have a bad match. You threw Bianca in there at WrestleMania. Bianca's great, right? They made magic. They had a best match of the weekend. So now instead of Bianca, you have Naomi, who has really come into her own with this heel turn and has had some really good, you know, matches herself over the past year. So I have no doubt that this is going to be a great match. The only question is, which match steals the show? Is it this match? Is it the TLC match? Or is it a match that maybe we're not thinking of? I don't know. But this is the one that I am most looking forward to out of all the matches. I think there's 12 of them so far. All the matches this weekend, this is the one. The Women's World Title match. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Summer kicked in again this week here in a big way. It was back up into the 90s. I went outside to do some walking and I got burned. That was my mistake. Just like it was my mistake when I got burned by my old wireless bill. Never again. If I told you what it was costing me at one point, you wouldn't believe it. Or maybe you would. Maybe that's the problem. But it doesn't have to be. With Mint Mobile, you can get the coverage and speed that you need, but for way less money than you're paying right now. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for just $15 a month. Say goodbye to your overpriced plan, those fat monthly bills, and those unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to save the day. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number with you as well, along with all of your existing contacts. They make it super easy. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for just $15 a month. You know, in the time that I've been using Mint, I've not had any interruptions in service. It's there when I need it. No drop calls, no, say that again, you cut out on me. You know, no slowdown when I'm searching for something in my browser. I wish I could say the same about my old provider. And I laugh when I see my bill now, which is, it's all I can do to keep myself from crying. You know, when I see what I'm saving each month by comparison. For the same basic service, no less. It's insane. But that doesn't mean that you have to be. There's no time like the present time to make the switch. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/Solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. Backstage in the Judgment Day clubhouse, Dominic, Raquel, and Roxanne. They were looking very down. Not quite as down as Bayley was, but they were looking very glum. So Finn Balor tried to cheer them up. He said, "Look, all these factions, they come and go, but yet the Judgment Day is still here," which is true, by the way. I myself cannot believe that the Judgment Day is still here. It looks very different than the original Judgment Day look, but they're still here. At least they have a name. So Dominic asked Balor and McDonough, "Do you need any help for your tag team title match tonight?" And Balor said, "No, we're good. Just hang back and maybe play some video games or something." Roxanne then presented Dom with a new Nintendo Switch. I assume it's the new one. I don't know why she would gift him the old one. I assume it's a Switch too. So she presents it to him and suggests that maybe we could play some WWE 2K25. And Dom was down for that. Even though they already had a television in the background playing 2K25, I think on a PS5. Here's a Switch. Okay. So Raquel said, you know who else likes to play 2K25? Liv. And Dom said, oh, that's great. Let's call her up. We could FaceTime her. I like how Raquel is always making sure that she mentions Liv, keeps Liv alive while she's off TV, just so you don't forget about her. We had Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, defending the World Tag Team titles against the LWO, Cruz del Toro, and Joaquin Wilde. Joaquin hit a big dive before a commercial break, but the Judgment Day took control immediately after. Del Toro made a tag. He woke up the crowd, which was very quiet for the first part of this, by hitting McDonagh, who was upside down to the corner at a tree of woe. He did a coast-to-coast and hit him from one end to the other with a dropkick. Wilde hit Balor with a moonsault. Del Toro followed with a Phoenix Splash. McDonagh broke up the pin. When El Grande Americano ran out and he hit the ring, got up on the apron to distract Del Toro, but Dragon Lee ran out and brawled to the back with Americano. I think those two, they got into it on the AAA show on Friday night. Balor used the distraction to small package Del Toro only for a near fall. Del Toro then super kicked Balor, kicked McDonagh off the apron. Joaquin Wilde took out McDonagh with a crazy flip dive off the top. Del Toro went to the top rope, but he got tripped up by a different masked man who was a good foot shorter than the other Americano that ran out only a little while ago. So the Americano universe is expanding here, folks. It's like when we had all the doinks. We ended up having, what, four, I think, at one point, four doinks. So now we have three different Americanos. Will there be more? I have no idea how the referee didn't see this, nor do I know who was under the mask. It was a smaller person. Honestly, this person was more the size of a Chad Gable. Obviously, it's not Gable. It could have been anybody. I mean, it could be somebody from the Performance Center. Who the hell knows? I don't really think it even matters. I'm not sure they're doing any kind of reveal. They just want to have another person running around in the mask, right? Plausible deniability. So the masked man ran off. Balor hit Del Toro with a coup de grace. And the Judgment Day retained the tag team titles to the surprise of absolutely no one. This tag team title match, honestly, was just lost in the noise of everything else that happened on this show. It was advertised in advance. It wasn't like it was only, you know, mentioned earlier today, but it just felt so inconsequential. And this is a World Tag Team title match. It just illustrates the difference right now between those titles and what we see going on SmackDown, to the point where the SmackDown tag team titles are the ones being defended on the PLE this weekend, not these belts. We got a big-ass TLC match. It just feels like, you know, in that division on that show, everybody wants those tag team titles. You have four or five different teams, you know, going at it tooth and nail for those WWE tag belts. And the world tag belts at the moment, it's more just a prop to use in the Judgment Day story because they all have gold, right? So you got one set of tag belts, the women's tag belts, the intercontinental title belt. And it ties more into the Judgment Day than it does, oh, hey, we have a really strong tag team division and everyone wants a shot at those titles. It doesn't feel that way. But hey, you know, now that we have two Americanos active on TV, maybe they're going to be a tag team. Maybe we have a new tag team in the Raw division. Los Americanos. It could be. World Heavyweight Champion Gunther made his way out to the ring. So Gunther said that he left the voice of the voiceless speechless last week. Crowd started chanting, "You tapped out." He said, well, that might be true, but I wouldn't run out of things to say about CM Punk. He said that he made Punk shut the hell up last week. And right on cue, we hear Punk's music, and he heads out to the ring. Punk said that Gunther did not leave him speechless, but it dawned on him, while standing across from someone as great as Gunther, that he doesn't want to be World Heavyweight Champion. I don't want to be World Heavyweight Champion. I need to be World Heavyweight Champion, he said. I need to be world heavyweight champion like I need air in my lungs. I need to be world heavyweight champion like I need my heart to pump blood through my veins. I need to be a champion like the Red Wings needed a 12th Stanley Cup. Cheap pop there. Old fans in Detroit, they liked hearing that. Isn't he is he a Blackhawks fan? He's a Blackhawks fan, isn't he? Anyway. Says that he needs to be a champion like a Midwest dad needs an old-style beer while mowing the lawn on a hot summer day. He said, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, but the championship makes me understand addiction. Punk recalled Gunther saying that he doesn't deserve to be called the best in the world. Punk said, it's true. I don't. I don't deserve it. Because I earned it. Gunther tried to tell Punk to shut up, but Punk covered Gunther's microphone and said, I'm not finished. He goes, there are levels to this, kid. He said Gunther would learn that he's not on his level, as great as he is. Punk said that he would leave the SummerSlam, and I fucking love that he slipped that in there. I love it. Oh, I love it. I love it. He most definitely did that on purpose. He would leave the SummerSlam as the world heavyweight champion. He said at least Gunther would be able to know what it's like to be in the ring with him. And he dropped the mic and he exited. And Gunther grunted in frustration. Literally grunted out of frustration. He had nothing to say. As I said at the beginning, you know, look, the build to this match has not been stellar. How could it be? They've had 2 weeks to promote this match. They had this gauntlet match. Punk just became number one contender. The first real promo segment was last week, and it was a letdown. Especially for a CM Punk promo. It was very paint by numbers, very like vanilla. And it was like, well, okay, great. Now we have one show left. I sure hope that they can have some sort of comeback from what we saw last week, which was very lame. And really put these guys out there and let's have more of a back and forth, you know, tit for tat. Put them in the ring together, put a mic in their hands, and just let them go. And it really wasn't a back and forth, but we did get the CM Punk that I was hoping to get last week. We saw him in this segment here tonight. It was good fire from him. I like how he was really driving home the point that, you know, I need to be the champion. It's not just that I want to be the champion. I need to be. This is very important to him. The championship should be the most important thing in the world. And since he's come back to WWE, he has not been a champion. So he almost feels desperate at this point. You know, I need to be the world heavyweight champion. So I like that. And I think of, what it makes me think about is the one man who has made it his mission for Punk to never be a world heavyweight champion. Just saying, I have a sneaky suspicion that man might be popping his head up this weekend. The main event was Jey Uso against Bronson Reed. This wasn't much of a match. Reed fended off some early offense, took control of things. The very instant they returned from commercial break, Jey avoided a senton. He came back with some right hands, a super kick, and a suicide dive out to the floor. So he's out there. Bron Breakker comes out and he's stalking, but now he's charging down the aisle and he spears Jey Uso, cuts him in half. And the referee calls for the disqualification. Maybe they were 6 minutes, 7 minutes into the match. And clearly there's time left and it's like, okay, let's just get him out here. We know who's coming out here. Roman Reigns music hits. And out walks the OTC, or the OTC1, whatever the fuck he was calling himself this week, OTC2. I don't know. Doesn't matter because everybody went nuts for him. He hung Bronson Reed neck first over the top rope, got in the ring. He clotheslined Bron Breakker out of the ring. Then he tried to lift Reed up on his shoulders, but he couldn't do it. Reed ended up charging and posting himself shoulder first. Roman then helped his cousin up to his feet. Breakker got back up on the apron, and he got super kicked off by Jey. Roman saw Bronson Reed getting back up on the apron, and he knocked him back down with a Superman punch. So it looked like the babyfaces were going to stand tall here, but Roman and Jey go outside. Roman is setting up to spear Bron Breakker. He comes around the ring. Bron beats him to the punch. And Bron Breakker spears Roman Reigns instead, right in front of the announcers. Reed also knocked Jey Uso down to the ground. The heels dragged Jey back into the ring. Reed held him while Breakker hit the ropes and speared him. And then Breakker called for Bronson to head up top. He held down Jey Uso by the arms. Bronson Reed climbed all the way up. And he came off with the tsunami splash. Squashed him like a bug right in the middle of the ring. Breakker looked over and he had this look on his face like, what? Like, he sees Roman Reigns is getting back to his feet. Now he's favoring his ribs. But he can't believe that this guy's getting back to his feet. And now he smiles. So Breakker goes out to the apron and he does his flying clothesline. Clotheslines Roman Reigns, where both guys go tumbling over the announce desk. And Roman took this full flip bump. Right? Like, this great bump off the desk and onto the floor. But Bron Breakker was not done yet. He got back up. He picked Roman up on his shoulders, rolled him into the ring. He then called for Bronson Reed to go back up top, and this time it was Roman Reigns getting a tsunami splash. Breakker kneels down beside Roman, his broken body, and he starts talking that shit. He says, this all used to be yours. This is mine now. This is mine now. Says, those ropes, they're mine. That cameraman, that's mine. Where have we heard this before? Where have we heard this before? Roman Reigns. When Roman was running roughshod over everybody, leading the bloodline, right? There were at least a couple of times on SmackDown I can remember him cutting this very promo where he would flip out and say, I own all this. This is all mine. This is my kingdom. That camera right there, that belongs to me. That bell. That's mine. Bron Breakker is giving it right back to him here. I like that. Because these dogs, they all bark for me. Then he threw Roman out to the floor. And they zoom in on Breakker and he starts to twitch. You know, he's going through these weird, you know, like something out of 28 Days Later or something. He's starting to freak out a little bit. Slowly rolls out of the ring. Rounds the bend. Here he comes, charging in, and he spears not only Roman, but Jey Uso, because they're standing right next to each other, and he spears them both through the barricade and into the timekeeper's area. Bronson Reed goes outside. He reaches down, and he pulls off Roman's sneakers off both feet, and he holds them up, and he starts clapping them together. He stole the man's Jordans right off of his feet. And so he gets back into the ring. Bron Breakker gets into the ring. And the show's about to go off the air. And it wasn't enough to just steal the man's shoes. He kisses them. He kissed Roman's sneakers. This man has a foot fetish. Or maybe a sneaker fetish. I don't know. You got Tony Atlas's attention, I'll tell you that. Whatever it is, he stole the man's shoes, and that's how they went off the air. It made for a great ending. I really like the ending of the show. The main event was a complete throwaway nothing match, but I like the closing angle. And again, maybe it won't bode well for the heels come SummerSlam. I don't know that I necessarily subscribe to that theory. You would think so. You would think the babyfaces are going to get their revenge and stand tall on, was it Saturday? I think it's Saturday. But not necessarily. Not necessarily. So I like the finish, and I did like the segment with Punk and Gunther, and I even like the sit-down, brief as it was, with Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross. Again, some of the matches on the show, like the women's eight-person tag match, you know, down the stretch, fans were reacting to Io and Rhea and Stephanie, and it got fun. But there was nothing on the show that really... You know, I mean, there was nothing on this show that really got me super amped up for SummerSlam in a way that maybe I wasn't already amped up for some of these matches. So it wasn't a show that made me less interested in seeing SummerSlam this weekend, but I can't say it was a show that made me go, man, I can't wait for Saturday and Sunday. It was a show. It was a show, but it ended great. I did like the ending. Let me run through this card here because we have two nights. So I'm going to run through SummerSlam Saturday first. This is the lineup for night one, because we now have the official lineups for SummerSlam coming up this weekend. We have the women's tag team titles on the line. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss are going to be challenging Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. Sami Zayn goes one-on-one with Karrion Kross. We have Randy Orton and Jelly Roll against Drew McIntyre, maybe, and Logan Paul. I don't know if you've been following this. Drew McIntyre is stuck in the UK. He was over there with his wife. They were supposed to fly home. They stopped him. They would not allow him to board his flight because he did not have his physical passport. Now, they have a cat at home. He's like, he told his wife, you go, I'll stay. And as of this moment, he's still stuck there. Now, I'm sure he'll be back by this weekend. But in the off chance that he's not, Logan Paul may need a new tag team partner. Now, I saw that The Miz volunteered. He put a social media video up. He volunteered to be the partner. Who better to, you know, who knows Logan Paul better than him, right? Hopefully that will not be necessary. But as of right now, Drew McIntyre is still stuck overseas. They have several days to rectify this. I have to imagine that this will all get worked out. Can you imagine if he misses this for no reason? For like the dumbest reason. He has to miss SummerSlam. Yeah, fucking pissed he's going to be. I would be. Give me the chance to kick Jelly Roll's ass. You take that away from me? Tiffany Stratton defends the WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso take on Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. And CM Punk challenges Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. So that's Saturday. Then we have SummerSlam Sunday. We have a TLC match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. The Wyatt Six defend against the Street Profits, Motor City Machine Guns, DIY. Who am I missing? Andrade and Rey Fénix. I'm missing a team. See, there's so many teams on SmackDown, I can't even keep track of all of them. What the fuck am I missing? Street Profits, Motor City Machine Guns, DIY, Andrade and Fénix. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of teams in this TLC match. It don't matter because I think the Wyatts are retaining, so it doesn't really matter. But anyway, that's on the show. Fraxium. Thank you. Thank you. Fraxium is in the match. How could I forget Fraxium? I sound like a high school music teacher? The hell is that supposed to mean? I don't know if I should be, if I should feel like that's a compliment or an insult. Women's World Championship on the line. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Naomi. Becky Lynch defends the Intercontinental title against Lyra Valkyria. No countouts, no disqualifications. If Lyra wins, then she's the champion. If she loses, she can never again challenge for the title so long as Becky is the champion. So those are the rules. Solo Sikoa defends against Jacob Fatu, the U.S. title, inside of a steel cage. Dominic Mysterio puts his Intercontinental title on the line against AJ Styles. And in a street fight for the WWE Championship, John Cena defends against the King of the Ring, Cody Rhodes. You know, that Sunday card, now that I think about it, is loaded with gimmick matches. We have a no count out, no DQ match. A street fight, which basically those are the same thing. So it's like two street fights. We have a triple threat for the women's world title, which also is no DQ. We have a cage match. And we have a TLC match. That's all on Sunday. My predictions are up on episode 922 of the Sound Off. Full predictions for both nights of SummerSlam, so make sure you go check out that podcast from yesterday. Also, make sure you go check this out, too, because I Go Home SmackDown is on Friday night, but it's the go-home show. What are you really going to see? What are you really going to see on Friday, right? It's all about Saturday and Sunday, so you know what you can do? you can go check out House of Glory. That's where I will be on Friday night, which is why there will be no SmackDown review. High Intensity, it's our biggest event of the year. This Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Triller TV. Ricochet and the Amazing Red. This is the rubber match. First time they're wrestling in quite a few years. And they will be going one-on-one. Zilla Fatu defending his Crown Jewel Championship against Bully Ray. They went at it on Busted Open Radio last week, so we had to put that match together. Carlito is back. He's challenging Charles Mason for the HOG World title. Indy Hartwell defends the Women's Championship against Priscilla Kelly. All that and a lot more, that's coming up on Friday night, Triller TV, or you can go to the NYC Arena and say hello. Maybe I'll even sing Nick Wayne's mom's song to you. Mother Wayne is invited to the show, too. I'm the commissioner. I'll get her a free seat. Whatever it takes. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. How about we do that? What did you think of the final Raw before the SummerSlam? 74.2% thumbs up. 25.8% thumbs down. Yes, I did see that. Mercedes Moné won two more belts this weekend in Poland. She now has 8 belts. Where will she go next? What other obscure village or town can she go to next to win another obscure championship? I don't know. You never know where she's going to pop up, but she looks like she's having a good time. Is Carlito going to bring the PS5? Is he going to play with me? Play the game with me. I didn't know what you were talking about there. You know what? If he wants to play 2K25, if I get to the building early enough, I would be happy to play 2K25 in the back with Carlito. I would be more than happy to do so. Don't know how good I'll be, but he wants to play, I'm down. The Summerfest? Yeah, the Summerfest is this weekend. That's right. Let's take a look at your super chats. Hard to believe we got August and then the fall will be here. And the summer will be over. It's going to be another 93 degree day here in New York tomorrow. Hopefully not quite as hot where you are. Start with Dry Chicken getting us started early here with the Super Chats. Thank you, brother. This is Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea. His legacy will forever be complicated. This Dry Chicken here won't show that much hate towards him, so I'll honor him NWO style. And then he cuts a little promo here. Every time Becky and Mercedes are dubbed as Becky Hogan and Mercedes Hogan, sometimes you need to do things NWO style. Hashtag, we want Mello. We want him. He is not on SummerSlam this weekend. Unless, hey, if Drew McIntyre can't make it, I wouldn't mind seeing Carmelo Hayes take his spot. Death Scythe says Nick's mom has got it going on. She's the matriarch and needs no daddy dom. Forget Shania Twain. Let's put on Fountains of Wayne. She might be the bitch of Babylon, but we're all simping for Nikki's mom. Oh, so you created your own song, huh? Not as good as mine. But not bad. Not bad. 6 out of 10. I give it a 6 out of 10. Thank you for those gifted memberships as well. I appreciate that. Dry Chicken says, Triple H needs to move Carmelo Hayes from SmackDown to Raw. We want Mello is now trending. It's time for him to get that push. Deathscythe says, I was thinking after tag team match, Bronson Reed should hit Jey Uso with multiple tsunami splashes, and Bron Breakker should smash Roman Reigns with the steel steps just like he did with Von Wagner. I remember that. I remember that whole angle. That's right. They really sold the shit out of that when he almost killed Von Wagner with the ring steps on NXT. Dry Chicken says, boy, all this Travis Scott hate has gotten this Dry Chicken here dreaming the other night of him doing a diss track on WWE and their fans. Well, he could do whatever he wants, as long as he stays off my TV. I don't really give a shit. Hey, Havili is with us. Updated countdown. Ah, he's talking about the WWE countdown of the best SummerSlam matches of all time that they have been doing on their YouTube channel. Says number 8, Rock against Brock Lesnar. Number 7, Shawn's return against Triple H. Number 6, Dudley Boys versus Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian, the first TLC. Number 5, Brett versus Owen steel cage match. Yes, they posted the full match on their channel, and number 5 is far too low for that match. Number 4, Punk and Brock. Number 3 is Bret Hart against Mr. Perfect. Those are all fine matches. Death Scythe, if God forbid Cody ever suffered an injury like Stone Cold Steve Austin, which kept him out for almost a year, who do you see taking his place? For me, it's either LA Knight, Joe Hendry, or Jacob Fatu. It's not going to be Joe Hendry. It's not going to be Joe Hendry, and it's not going to be LA Knight. Not that I wouldn't mind LA Knight in that spot, but it's very clear Triple H just doesn't see him in that spot. I don't know what he's doing with LA Knight. I have no idea what he's doing. Jacob Fatu would be that guy. He would be my choice. I don't know that they're ready to push him quite that high just yet, but Jacob Fatu would be my choice. You get him ready for that spot, and I think he can carry the load no problem. He's already super over. We know what he can do in the ring. He can talk. He's got that intangible quality about him. I think he would do very well. Dry Chicken says, I legitimately have given up on Triple H. I am burnt out. Well, there you go. Arabian Knight, after Cross and Sammy segment where Cross says, I'll go away, after Sammy tells the truth. To me, sadly, that's a sign after SummerSlam that WWE is not renewing him. Says, I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, I hope you are too. And who's to say that maybe he tells them no, right? I don't really see him doing that. I don't know that he has a reason to do that. If they wanted to re-sign him, why would he say no? We'll get a better sense after SummerSlam. That's it. I mean, nobody really knows anything right now. We'll see what happens at SummerSlam as far as the outcome of that match goes. Mr. Rod, 1990. Roman and Jay get beat up and Bronson Reed steals Roman's shoes. That was hilarious. It was funny because it was just so random. What's he going to do with those shoes? He already kissed them. Is he going to sleep with them tonight? I don't know. Deathsight says, also, who do you think had the greatest face turn of all time? For me, it's Batista. Because when he gave Triple H the thumbs down, the building was so loud it made Vesuvius sound like an early autumn flurry. That was a pretty good one. Greatest of all time? No. But that was a pretty good one. Yeah, I really got to think about that. We always think in terms of like the greatest heel turn, but as far as best babyface turn, I don't know. It's not that one. I know there have been better ones. It's not the Batista one. Ace Italiano, if Drew McIntyre misses SummerSlam, what do they do? They get someone like The Miz to replace him, which would be terrible, or do they do a one-on-one match with Orton and Logan, and Jelly Roll could be in Orton's corner? They'll find somebody to take his place. They'll find another heel. Like, they're doing a tag team match. Like, Jelly's been training, man. He's ready to get in the ring and do some shit. So, they're definitely doing a tag team match. If for some reason Drew can't be in there, they'll find somebody to take his place. Yeah, Ken, you know, again, I was thinking, like, in terms of babyface turns, he didn't really... The thing with the Hogan thing, you might be right. Hogan in Toronto, he didn't do anything to turn babyface, but the fans turned him babyface. And so that still counts, right? He got attacked by the NWO after the match and fended them off with The Rock. And then, of course, he posed and everybody went nuts for him. God, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. But Hogan had the greatest heel turn of all time. He may have had the greatest babyface turn too. Yeah, there's a lot. There have been a lot of great ones that are a lot better than the Batista one. That's why I said, as soon as you mentioned the Batista one, I said, okay, that's good, but that definitely ain't number one. We got Pisco Sour 95. The fact Travis Scott was always going to be involved in the WrestleMania main event just shows that Rock is not 100% to blame for that shitty ending. Whoever thought about that idea, Triple H or not, should be ashamed. Well, they all deserve to be, you know, outed for that. It wasn't just one person. Triple H is absolutely, you know, partially to blame for that. Absolutely. He doesn't get excused. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Now that we're past the All-Star break, this is where the baseball season gets interesting. You may even have that hat on supporting your favorite team. But be honest now. Are you wearing that hat to support the team? Or are you wearing it to hide the fact that your hair is thinning? Lord knows I'm shocked the Mets haven't caused my hair to fall out entirely over the years. But seriously, it's okay. It happens to lots of guys. You are far from the only one. Hims offers access to a range of prescription treatments that are a home run for hair regrowth. And by the time you start seeing results, your team will hopefully be in the playoffs. That's a fuller head of hair by the fall. Hims offers access to a range of hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You can get started from the comfort of your own home. Just fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is fully online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at just $35 a month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair, and you can too. All you need to do is make that all-important decision that could change your life. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Linkmaster X, Sheamus won the WWE title a few months after his debut. He did. So did Yokozuna. So did Brock Lesnar. Tony Atlas calls Lyra's shoes the Face Walkers. Thank you, Linkmaster. Arabian Night 2000, 6-hour pre-show, and they can't find time for people like Sheamus, Rusev, Black Priest, Melo, LA Knight, Asuka, and Julia. Yeah, you know what? Out of every single person that you just mentioned, I brought this up before, the only championship that is not on the line at SummerSlam is the women's U.S. title and the World Tag Team titles, but they just got defended tonight. There is no reason that you can't get Julia in a U.S. title match if that's the only match. One of the two nights on one of the pre-shows. There is no reason you can't have her on that show defending the U.S. title. There's still time to make it happen. I think she's wrestling... Is she wrestling Zelina on Friday? Did they announce that? I don't know if they announced it or not. I'm hoping they save that for one of the pre-shows at SummerSlam. I would like to see Julia get an actual match at MetLife Stadium on one of those two shows. There's still time to make that happen. Misfit Wrestling Podcast, Nikki Bella being that team. Being that team? What does that mean? Nikki Bella being that team. Oh, being on that team, I think he says. I think that's what he means. Is like that modern... I say modern. Nikki Bella being that... Man, you misspelled it and now I'm all fucked up. Nikki Bella being on that team is what he means. Is like that meme of the soldiers and Nikki being that one dressed like a clown. What meme is that? Have I seen that meme? I don't know if I've seen that meme before. The soldiers and the clown? I don't know if I've seen that one. Derek J. Speaks, $15 super chat. The booking of the women's IC title against the booking of the women's U.S. title is just further proof for why there should have been only one women's mid-card title introduced in the first place. And who is the one who advocated for one title? This guy. You start with one, see how it goes. You can always introduce a second one later in the year. No, we got to have one, and we got to have the other one at the same time. You can only book one at a time, apparently. So this is what we end up with. Just have one. It can float. It goes well. Introduce a U.S. title 6 months later. Nope. We got to get both of them out there at the same time. Fine. Jeremy Rose, please tell me this Bella experience is over after SummerSlam season. Why can't WWE just restart Total Bellas if they want to hook them up with money? Because Nikki wants to wrestle. Look, Nikki is not bad, right? Brie has said that she believes that the fact that Bryan Danielson is with AEW might have something to do with why they haven't reached out to her for a return. The reality is, I mean, Brie Bella in the ring was never that good. Nikki Bella is fine. Nikki Bella is not a bad wrestler. There are a lot of women on the roster who are far better than she is. But that's not even the issue. It does feel like when she's on the show, it does feel like it's kind of a bygone era of the women's division. And there are a lot of other women who have come along now and have passed, you know, the Bellas, and they were the big stars of the division at one point, and that's not the case anymore. There's a place for Nikki if she wants to wrestle. I don't know if this is going to be a long-term thing, or again, if she's just around for a short period of time. I don't know. If she wants to stick around a little bit longer, fine. I don't know what her plans are. But Brie was not good. Sorry. Says, do you watch the Mets while doing the shows like Michael Cole does? If so, then you saw the Mets blow a 5-1 lead and now losing to my Padres 6-5. I saw what was going on and I turned it off. But yes, Michael Cole talked to, I don't know who he talked to, but he was, the New York Mets Twitter account retweeted an interview he did. Maybe it was with SNY. And he says that on every WWE show, if there's a Mets game going on, he's got the game on, sound turned down on his phone, I guess, right beside him during the show. So while he was calling the show tonight, he had the Mets game on. See, that's dedication. He says he is like Pat McAfee would like give him shit. Like, you watch all 9 innings of every Mets game. He's like, yep, I got to see all 9 innings. Like, that's dedication. He's a hardcore fan. Misfit Wrestling Podcast. The guy in the mask was Pete Dunne. Oh, was that confirmed? It was so quick, I couldn't tell. Now they have Pete Dunne in the mask? Duff's Vids, where does the sheep get his haircut? At the barber shop. At the barber shop. Baba. Giant Baba. Love Lie, do you think Seth will return with a new theme? No. I hope so. He should. But I don't think that they want... I don't think they want to break in a new theme. I think they enjoy the fans, and he probably enjoys the fans singing along. They don't want to get rid of that. Eminem with the $28. Mother Wayne super chat. I'm not David Thiering, but I had to break out the new one. Should Becky lose this weekend, which she will, should she go to SmackDown as a babyface? Honestly, Stratton and or Cargill should be on the dark side. Did you listen to my SummerSlam predictions? Because if you did, you would know exactly what I think should happen with Becky Lynch. SmackDown needs her more than Raw does. So when she loses this weekend, she should go to SmackDown. Heel or babyface doesn't really matter to me. But they could definitely use her more so on Fridays than Mondays right now. We got a boogie. Fantasy booking SummerSlam. I hope Big E comes back. Oh my god. Biggie is not coming back. Especially not with that gimmick. Thank you, A Boogie. Arabian Night 2000, LA Night still nowhere to be found. I'll bet he's fuming. Oh, I'm sure he's not happy at all that he's not on the SummerSlam card. Still over his shit. And nowhere to be found. I'd be fuming too if I were him. Eminem says, it was so nice. We have to hear it twice. Apparently, Def Rebel has been using AI for most of the WWE themes. Makes you wonder why we keep hearing those tones of role model. Role model. Ready for a Santino match on NXT tomorrow? No. No. I'll be doing TNT. Final Oven Mint. Probably the worst SummerSlam build in recent time. You're not wrong. In terms of the build to the show, it has not been great. Linkmaster, wait, wasn't R-Truth supposed to be a big deal now? He was never supposed to be a big deal. They wanted to shut down the firestorm that ensued. They brought him back to basically shut people up. That's why they brought him back. Mission accomplished. Leopoldo says, damn, I was trying to break this chat in first, but forgot YouTube doesn't let us cuss, so I kept editing and you did it first. Like Armstrong stepping on the moon first because Buzz Aldrin misplaced his keys to the hatch. Good for you, brother. Hey, the second one counts just as much as the first. People love the song and they're like, wow, that's actually really good. And then boom, it hits again and they get to hear it a second time. That ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Thank you, Leopoldo. Pro wrestling fan. 6305. I'm dyslexic, apparently. $20 super chat. I'm glad Travis Scott is no longer involved with WWE. I don't have to hear his annoying song, Fiend. I love hip-hop music, but I hate Southern rap. Most Southern rappers suck. And Travis Scott is one of them. Love your show, Solo. Well, as Kurt Hennig used to say, rap is crap. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying. There are a lot of people who do. Misfit Wrestling Podcast. When a kid burned down his house, his father watched, put an arm around his wife, and said, that's our son. That's our... That's our son. That's arson. Tamatonga, superfan. Do you consider Tama Tonga training his brother a top three accomplishment of his career? He taught him everything he knows. Yes, but he did not teach him everything that he knows. That much is very much apparent. And to answer your question, no. No, it is not. Linkmaster Batista in 2005-2006 was absolutely cool. The man. Eminem. If we had Nikki Bella on Raw tonight, then we have to have Brie Mode on the stream. This has been a rough month, and now sadly we have to add Ryan Sandberg to the list. Rest in peace to the Cubs Hall of Fame second baseman. And fuck cancer. Yeah, I saw something about that just before I went live. Was he 65, I believe? I think he was, I believe last year, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Went into remission, then it came back, it metastasized. 65 years old. Very sad. Linkmaster, what do you think of the name Bubba? I wouldn't name my son that. But otherwise, it's fine, I suppose. There won't be any Bubba Solomons anytime soon, but, you know, some people like it. Death Scythe, we can both agree that Brett and Austin had the greatest double turn of all time. Yes. Arabian Knight, would Cross do well in AEW? No. I'm not even... Before I even read the rest of your super chat, the answer is no. I could just the way that I look at someone like a Lance Archer or a Big Bill and just some of these bigger types that they have on TV, when they actually get on TV. Cross, I don't think Cross would do any better, and probably no better, no worse. He would probably end up in a similar situation as the one he's in now. Maybe even a little less visibility than he has now. He says, I feel Tony Khan would allow him more creative freedom on his promos. Maybe take on his wild gimmick from Lucha Underground. Ah. The White Rabbit. I don't think he would do well in AEW. It doesn't fit. He doesn't fit the style there. Misfit Wrestling Podcast, Julia Open Challenge at SummerSlam versus Bayley. Book it. Just to have Bayley lose again? Continue her losing streak? Sure, if you want to continue the losing streak gimmick, you could do that. She ain't beating Julia. They just put Kiana James with Julia. You think they're beating Julia anytime soon? Linkmaster, Jelly Roll performed at an Ozzy All-Star tribute. Says Ozzy performed on SmackDown in May of 2007. I have absolutely no memory of that whatsoever. Duff's Vids, how does Lady Gaga like her steak? Oh, God. How does Lady Gaga like her steak? Raw, 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 raw. Just for making me sing that, you get booed. You get booed right off the stage. B-Slimp, I don't know how Secret Hervis wrestles in those suits. Well, the same way that IRS used to wrestle in suspenders and a tie. Guy, he used to sweat through those shirts. Linkmaster, Seth better sell the leg if he cashes in. Heist. We got Rick. Rick S. X. $10 super chat. After the Hulk Hogan video tribute, if you look at CM Punk's expression, he looks like he doesn't want to be on stage supporting Hogan. What was the issue CM Punk had with Hogan? Oh, CM Punk doesn't like Hulk Hogan. He just doesn't like him. I don't think he ever liked him, but especially after the racist comments. He had no love for Hulk Hogan. Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, he had a look on his face like he probably didn't want to be there. And they had him front and center. Tomatonga Superfan, do you think the Undertaker Rock Angle Triple Threat match of Vengeance 2002 is an underrated match, or do you think it's properly rated? One of my favorite triple threats of all time. I think it's properly rated. I think most people who saw it would rank it pretty high, as I do. I think it's fairly rated. Death Scythe, the new Friday the 13th movie called Sweet Revenge is set to premiere on August 13th. What do you mean, Friday the 13th movie? What are you talking about? There hasn't been a new Friday the 13th movie since 2009. There's a TV show. It's like a prequel series that's coming to Peacock. But, what are you talking about? Cameron Spencer, before Vince got in trouble, I wanted him to face Flair in a Mania retirement match. Vince can try to claim Flair's success for himself. Are you down for that? No. Vince McMahon against Ric Flair? Are you out of your mind? I don't want either one of them near a wrestling ring ever again. And that was even before Vince got in trouble. Whatever the opposite of down for that is, that's what I am. I'm actively against it. Linkmaster, but Punk loved being in Saudi Arabia. Oh, I'm sure he did. Duff's Vids, what do priests say to get rid of flies in the church or in church? let us spray everybody. I was doing that earlier today. In fact, I was spraying. Thank you, Duffs. Andrade's El Idolo is a close second to Role Model as awful intros to songs, along with Charlotte's The Queen. I swear they sound like someone burped into the microphone and they missed it before they knew they were recording. Idiots. Dude, the music in general is just awful. It's just so awful. But they cheap out on this shit. So that's how you end up with the Def Rebel, who just does the bare minimum, right? Or they're generating fucking AI songs. However the hell they're coming up with this shit. It's just awful, dude. It's just so uninspired. Uninspired is a good word for it. Duff's Vids. How do you say I'm constipated in German? I'm far from pooping. Death Scythe. Every time I see Finn and JD McDonagh, I ask the question, why aren't Reed and Breaker the tag team champions? I mean, what do the titles really mean on Raw? I mean, come on now. Do they really need them? It's almost beneath them. It really is. And they could still win them. They probably would rather have them win them off some baby faces. But they really don't need them right now. MGM Ballin, did I miss you reading the 12-month member chat? If I did, then here's a 20 for Be the Booker anyway. Was that tonight? If it wasn't on the list here, it probably didn't come through. let's see. Yeah, the green ones, man. The green ones don't always pop up here, but let's take a look and see. Let's see. Yeah. I guess not. Thank you, brother. I got you either way. Linkmaster, Flop Dala is funnier than the Shockmaster. No, I mean, the Shockmaster is just peak comedy. KNNZ 2015 with a $53 super chat. Hey, Solo, I just finished Raw. I think they made Roman look like a chump at the end of the show. It just didn't look right. I was waiting for the comeback, and it never came. I'll watch your show now. Have a great night. Well, I mean, look, they had to make him look weak going into SummerSlam because they want you to feel as if these two guys have a shot of beating Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. And the best way to do that is to have him on his back, because we don't get to see Roman Reigns flat on his back very often, right? His wife does, but we don't. So I thought what they did was smart. It might have given away the finish because the heels were so dominant at the end. In my predictions, I had Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed winning at SummerSlam, and I had them winning with Bron Breakker pinning Roman Reigns. So you kind of look at what they did tonight, and it's like, well, that's not happening now. You know what? I'm not so sure about that. I still feel like they're on the right track with Bron Breakker, and you really want to put him over? You really want to make this guy like a superstar? You give him a win like that on a show like SummerSlam, that'll mean something. And Roman loses nothing. Roman's probably going away anyway after SummerSlam. What's he going to be doing? He's going to disappear again. You mean to tell me you can't have them go over on Roman Reigns and Jey Uso? And have Roman Reigns take the pin? To then lead to an eventual match between Roman Reigns and Bron Breakker? Right now it should be about building up Bron Breakker in the biggest way possible. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't win on, again, whatever day, Saturday, whatever the fuck the night is that they're doing the match, if the babyfaces win, I would still do an angle immediately after the match or on Raw Monday night next week where they fucking kill Roman. Bron Breakker just destroys him and sends him on his way and he disappears for a few months. Should be all about putting him over. That should be the goal. Don't tap dance around it. Don't be like, well, you know, 50-50. Like, no. You want to make a star, you want to push somebody, fucking push him. Roman is Teflon. He's in that rarefied air, you know, where it doesn't really matter what you do to him, he's still going to be that mega star for you. And he doesn't get beat very often. I know he lost at WrestleMania, but he doesn't get beat very often. You can use this to really help solidify Bron Breakker as a major player, which he's on his way to doing anyway. But like, what a big win that would be for him. Pro Wrestling Fan 6305. You're right, Mr. Perfect told no lies to Master P and No Limit Soldiers. They are proof of that. They are proof of that. The Southern rap is crap. Six Lenses. Just want to say thanks, Hogan, for making me believe I was invincible as a kid. I wish people who hate him understand how mad you feel. We feel 10 times worse. I wish he could have made things right. A lot of people do. Linkmaster says Bronson repoed Roman shoe. He's the new repo man. Gotta get him the mask. The eye mask. He can inherit the job. The new repo man. Bronson Reed. It's another great theme song, by the way. Duff's Vids, what did one candle say to the other candle? Don't birthdays just blow you away? And Justin. I know you can't eat cheese anymore. What kind or kinds do you miss the most? I just needed an excuse to send a super chat. Thanks, Solo. Thanks, chat. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I had a favorite one necessarily. You know, just I'd enjoy a good cheeseburger. Didn't really matter what kind of cheese was put on there. I used to go to school, pack the Polio string cheese. I used to enjoy that. I used to fold over the
wing.
Fold over the wing. That super chat has a way of just at the exact right moment. It's unbelievable. But I used to take a piece of cheese, might have been just like American cheese, and just fold it over, bite a hole in the middle, and then open it, and there's like a little hole. Because I, you know, because I'm a fucking child. So it doesn't really matter. I don't know that I had like a favorite cheese. I didn't eat it very often, but when I did, you just slap it on a hamburger. You know, where I have mac and cheese. I do miss that. I think that and Big Ziti. Those are the two things I miss the most. But look, I mean, it's been, you know, God, 27 years. So I'm kind of used to it at this point, you know? It is what it is. I think 1998 is when I realized, shit, I can't have this anymore. Oh, man. Joseph Brooks, buy or sell on which company did Sting have his best run after the end of WCW? TNA or AEW? Notice how I wisely ignored his WWE run. What a shame it was. Yes, what a shame indeed. I mean, how can I argue against, I mean, you look at this and go, how do I argue against AEW, right? Because he was undefeated, retired as a tag team champion, honestly got one of the greatest retirements any wrestler has ever gotten. But in TNA, he had a real run. I have to go with TNA, you know, he was a multiple time world champion in TNA. He got to work a ton of different big names. He was younger, so, you know, he could do more. In AEW, obviously, it was a very limited run that he had. So even though he was undefeated and he was completely protected and got that great retirement, that great send-off, which he did not get in TNA, the TNA run overall was the stronger run. You know, he had matches with all the key guys, right? AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Abyss, on and on and on. It was just more of an actual run, you know. In AEW, he was the elder statesman. He wasn't full time. He was a lot older. They protected him as best they could. Death Scythe. If Gunther ends up being John Cena's final opponent, that match should be a lot like the match that Drew and Angle had on Raw, where Drew came off like an unstoppable machine and Kurt came across like a has-been. I mean, Cena may come across that way regardless. I wouldn't book it that way. I certainly wouldn't book the match like that. For Cena's retirement match? I don't think you want him coming across as a has-been. He might look, if he comes across that way anyway, it's nothing you could do, but that is not how I would book Cena's retirement match. Yeah, Joe, that's right, Joker Sting. I was a fan of Joker Sting in TNA. He tried something different. Yeah, he was ripping off Heath Ledger, but I was a fan of Joker Sting. I was a fan of Joker Sting. I was a big fan of Joseph Park, Esquire, Abyss's brother. I love that character. I love that whole angle. I love that character. Yeah, I wish we had more of that in wrestling. I wish we had more characters in wrestling. We don't have enough of that. Marquand says Roman will fight Braun for his shoes. Like Brett, that's great. Like Brett fought Pierre for his jacket. Oh my God, that's right. Bret Hart and Jean-Pierre Lafitte had a match at In Your House for his fucking leather jacket that P- Pierre Stoll. Roman's going to fight Bronson Reed for his fucking shoes. Oh, my God. Linkmaster says, did you like Joker's Sting? Yes, as I just mentioned. Big fan of Joker's Sting. Actually, the best Joker's Sting segment was that segment with Hogan. TNA had this filming technique at that time, which was actually really well done, where it was like the camera was sort of eavesdropping in the shadows, and they showed a meeting. It was in Hogan's office. So we were looking at it through the window, through the blinds. And like Joker's Sting was terrorizing Hogan. Hogan is just like sitting there paralyzed in fear at this man who is having this just absolute meltdown in front of him. And it's probably on YouTube. They might even have it on the TNA channel. I just remember he just looked like such an unhinged maniac, and Hogan's reaction was priceless. That was probably the best of all the Joker Sting segments. Anyway, I just noticed that we hit the secondary goal, 10 out of 10. So you guys have earned yourself not only one, but two rounds of Be the Booker, which is exactly the way that I was hoping we would close out these Raw reviews here in the month of July. That's awesome. So let's go ahead and get ready, because we got ourselves some Be the Booker to do. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm ready.
It is now time to Be the Booker.
I am ready, Freddy. It is Be the Booker time. Start with round number one. We are going to start with round number one. Yes, we are. And that is tag teams. Tag team Be the Booker. We have the Young Bucks, who are going to be in a match tomorrow night on Dynamite in the Tag Team Title Contenders Tournament. The winners of the tournament challenge for the championships at Forbidden Door. The Young Bucks are wrestling the Outrunners. I have the Outrunners going over in this match. The Outrunners need this win. Young Bucks are in their downward spiral phase. Let's go, Outrunners. I'm actually looking forward to that match. Young Bucks against Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Undertaker. Can you even imagine what would that match look like? Stone Cold and The Undertaker against the Young... Can you imagine the Young Bucks giving Stone Cold a Meltzer driver? Would the Young Bucks be destroyed in 3 minutes? How would this match go? I definitely would want to see it. It would be very interesting. Women's Be the Booker. We have Piper Niven. You know, I gotta do some updates here to the some of the images here. This is actually Dewdrop, but we don't call her Dewdrop anymore. That's Piper Niven. grown men versus children. All right, Piper Niven against Luna Vachon. You know what? I like that match. Piper Niven, forget the Secret Hervis crap. Piper Niven against Luna Vachon. Luna Vachon could wrestle. She just never really got a shot to do much of it in WWE. I think that would actually end up being a pretty good match. I do. Clash of generations here. Piper Niven and Luna Vachon. Who goes over? I say Luna. Main event, our first main event, because we got one more round coming up. But let's make it a good one here. Our main event, the former WWE champion, Kofi Kingston, is back in the main event. Don't tell Brock. Kofi Kingston is back. If we tell Brock, it's not going to end well for Kofi. Chad Gable was killed Pick a stipulation to ease our pain. Oh, man. Look at that. Right to the head. That was a headshot. Poor Chad. Well, we still have to pick an opponent, but now we have to pick a stipulation. So we'll pick the stipulation first. I was going to wait for the second round to start doing stipulations, but I guess we're picking one now. Kofi Kingston's in the main event. We know that. This match is going to be a Firefly Funhouse match. Firefly Funhouse match. Not thrilled about that, but if it's a Firefly Funhouse match, we have to get the old Kofi at some point, right? With the Jamaican accent? Kofi Kingston against The Miz in a Firefly Funhouse. Ain't nothing fun about that. That don't work for me, brother. Sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, grandma, that don't work for me. The good news is we have one more shot at it because you guys hit the second goal. So we get to take her for a spin one more time. We were doing so good. We were doing pretty good. We were doing pretty good. We're not casting aspersions on The Miz. Kofi Kingston against The Miz is not a main event that I am going to give the belt to. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. Not now, not ever. All right, our first match. Now we're doing stips. First match is going to be a parking lot brawl. Is that the Bashams back there? I believe it is. All right, so we're doing a parking lot brawl. It's going to be a tag team parking lot brawl because we're starting with the tag team matches. So a tag team parking lot brawl. We should throw a whammy in the... You know what? We should throw a whammy in there. But then what happens if we hit the whammy? We just don't pick a stipulation? I would consider that. I was a big Press Your Luck fan. Maybe we throw some whammies in there. What do you think? No whammy. It is The Bar. They're not looking to raise the bar. They are The Bar. Sheamus and Cesaro. In a parking lot brawl. That's right up their alley. They've already got this in the bag. Sheamus and Cesaro against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. A guaranteed banger. Sheamus against Sheamus in a parking lot brawl. I think that match is going to be very stiff. There's going to be some black and blue marks coming out of this match. What a match, though. Sheamus and Drew McIntyre against Sheamus and Cesaro. Banger after banger after banger. Has never been more true than it is right now. I love it. How about that? All right, our women's... What is going on? We go from a Firefly Funhouse match before to a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. We have a Mountain Dew Pitch Black women's match. That is the stipulation for the ladies here. We have Gail Kim. Wow, look how young she is here. Probably breaking into the business at this point. Gail Kim in a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match against Willow Nightingale. I mean, you could give that match any stipulation you want. Gail Kim, prime Gail Kim against Willow Nightingale is a fucking great match. We're 2 for 2 Two for two so far. That really is a great match. Willow Nightingale against Gail Kim. All right, we get another shot at this. We shit the bed the first time. But I have a good feeling about this. I really do. I have a good feeling about this, that we're going to redeem ourselves. It's going to be a casket match. I'll take it. I'll take it over a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Okay. Who is going to be in this casket match? Well, I mean, he is in a casket, but this is a little bit different. Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Sammartino has never, ever, 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 ever been in a casket match before. Bruno Sammartino against Buddy Matthews in a casket match. There you go. And actually, I believe that's a sweep. That is a clean sweep. Buddy Matthews is awesome. Buddy and Bruno in a casket match. Bruno was a big guy. Got to make sure that casket is big enough for him to fit in there. I feel like Bruno was very, in his prime. He had, like, just a big guy, you know, kind of wide. Not fat, but like wide and very strong. And Buddy Matthews obviously is in good shape too, but I feel like Bruno was bigger than him. But there you go. We got our clean sweep. So thankfully we got that second round in there. Otherwise, man, that main event that we had before, that's no way to end Be the Booker. Can't end like that. You can't end like that. Yeah, we gotta make some updates. There is much to update in Be the Booker. We have Linkmaster. We talked about Linkmaster's other one. Linkmaster says Jaws or Jurassic Park. Both great, but I gotta go Jaws. And Joseph Brooks, buy or sell, which match at that time should we have gotten but Vince stubbornly didn't want? Rock against DDP, 2001, or Sting against Undertaker, 2015? Rock and DDP, 2001. I mean, it would have been a lot better than what they did with DDP. What a waste. There was definitely a story there with Rock and DDP. I think that could have worked. Absolutely. People's champ against people's champ. He's talked about it. He pitched the idea. Undertaker and Sting should have happened as well. But, you know, there were so many missed opportunities, I feel like, to do that. A lot of it was on Sting for waiting so long. And he kept renewing every year with TNA, his little one-year deals. You know, he's partly to blame for that match never happening because he was the one who wanted it. I don't think Undertaker ever wanted that match. Sting is the one who has said, I really want that match. I really wanted it. Well, you know, you could have had it, but you kept sticking around with TNA. So, and I can understand it. He's probably getting paid really well, right? Easy work. It should have happened long before 2015. There was a chance for it to happen in 2011. I don't know how realistic it was, but like there was a conversation. It just didn't happen. Triple H was never going to lose his match against The Undertaker that year. Is Be the Booker run in Windows Vista? No. Be the Booker is run in Windows 98. Two Grande Americanos. It sounds like you're asking for your order at Starbucks. I'll have two Grande Americanos, please. God, I have to double check and make sure he's actually in Be the Booker. I don't even know if he's in Be the Booker. Now there's two of them. I'll make that note. Anybody see Fantastic Four, by the way? I'm thinking about going to see it, but I'm on the fence right now. I've heard good things about it, though, so I could use some feedback. If you've seen it, let me know. All right, tomorrow night I'm going to be live for Tuesday Night Titans over on JD's channel. We're going to rock it. We're going to kill it. Episode 105. We've done so many, I've lost track. 104, 105. That's tomorrow. And then Wednesday night is the final stream for the month of July. Final stream of the week then until SummerSlam. Because I will not be here on Friday. So you should be here with me on Wednesday. Even if you don't watch Dynamite. Come hang out. Super chat. Live chat. Maybe we'll do Be the Booker. Can't do it without you. So that'll be Wednesday night. And then Saturday is SummerSlam Night 1. I'll be live on YouTube for that. I'll be live on YouTube for SummerSlam Night 2. There'll be another podcast that Sunday in between both shows. And if you missed episode 922, again, I hope that you will take the time to listen to the Hogan segments, the first 45 minutes of the show. Gotten a lot of really positive feedback to it. I very much appreciate it. I hate doing these kind of eulogy and remembrances just because it's sad. I feel like I've done so many of them, but I try to handle them in the best way that I can. And I appreciate when I get positive feedback to it. Because, you know, sometimes whether there's controversy like there was with Hogan or if it's just a sad situation and somebody passes away, it's a sensitive topic. And, yeah, some of these names are names that I grew up on. I grew up watching. And it's tough, you know, to see all of these people no longer here. And I feel like I've done far too many of them over the years. But again, go check that out. That is from episode 922. I will be back with you on Wednesday night then for the Dynamite stream. So Linkmaster, you get the last word. It says DDP sued Jay-Z. Didn't he win over the diamond? Yes, the diamond, this symbol. I believe he did. I believe DDP won. That was many years ago. Be well. Stay safe. And I will see you back here very soon for more Sound Off live on YouTube. Hit that like button on your way out. Until then, take care, guys.